Good morning, good afternoon. How are you, Michael? It's always a pleasure to have this podcast where we are talking about sports. This is Arcadio's Motorsport Diaries, where we love sports and we believe motorsport and sports generally unite us all. This is the world we want to see. This is a podcast that will be featured Ring Rally Regions, and we want to have candid conversations about the sport. Most importantly, the podcast has been put with motorsport enthusiasts, especially the young blood in mind, and they would want to hear from their rally legends. So today's theme is about globalization. And of course, we have none other but a special guest all the way from Germany, Michael Kalfus, who will be sharing with us his experiences when it comes to motorsport. And of note, Michael came to Nairobi, Kenya, and he raced a very interesting car, the Champant P900, if I got it right. And it's a car that never stuck anywhere. So there's quite a lot of stories that you'd want to hear from Michael, whether it's true he was never stuck and how his experience were like. So feel most welcome, Michael. And kindly tell us about yourself, your interest in motorsport, and what brought you to Kenya?
Yeah, just a quick hello to Kenya. So I'm happy to be here to talk with you and all the friends of you. And it's a couple of months ago that we was in Kenya for the first time. And maybe if I look behind me, we are sitting in my motorsport office, and it is my favorite place to make the contacts around the world. And we are in a WRC since 1992. And we had compete the East African Safari in first time in 1994 with the Trabant, but not with the same car that we had used last time a couple of months ago. So maybe some people are remembering that we were there in 1994 with the old car, and the Trabant, the 601 model, was an East German cult car, but the homologation end in 1994, and this was the reason, 1995, sorry, this was the reason to take this for a couple of months, couple of years in the WRC with this car. So the homologation ended in 1995, and this was the reason to take the Trabant.
Interesting. So now, just describe that car a little bit so that the viewers can get to understand how unique it was, especially in this classic rally.
You mean that what was the reason to compete? Yes, the thing is, we was in 2003. It was the first classic event for celebrate the 50 years of East African Safari, and the people invite me. They invite people around the world with interesting people, interesting cars, people with good stories, and that was a reason to invite me. The people remembering the 1994 event that we was in a couple of Toyota Team Europe, and it was the smallest car that you can ever see in a WRC. So we talk about a car with a two-stroke engine with two cylinders with 600cc and around 45-50 horsepower. And for the Kenyan people, it was unbelievable to take part in a rally like this. So we talk about one of the hardest, one of the biggest rallies in the world. So people tell me maybe the Dakar is different to this, but it's a desert rally. And the East African Safari is very special. And it's impossible to take part with a car like this. And we have to take part. And we have a good time, and this was a reason to invite me in 2003 to the first East African Safari.
Interesting. So one of the things I remember when you were at the podium, and we have a few photos of you, you know, with your co-driver, you said that coincidentally you were also celebrating your 60th birthday, right? Driving a 60-year-old car, celebrating the 60th birthday. So it was double kind of a celebration there.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just wondering, like, what's your future plans like? Do you want to continue doing racing? You know, what are your plans moving forward?
At the moment, we are free for all decisions. So we're leaving the real WRC that I competed 10 years ago. And so at the moment, everything what we do in motorsport, it's just private, it's just for fun. We enjoy the time. And so we have, if you look behind me, we had 28 WRC races for Toyota, for Mitsubishi, for first time of the Trabant. And now we are free to do everything. And we are waiting for the little car. The car is still on the way. So maybe you know the story that the Red Sea passing is closed. So all the ships coming around the Cape Hope. And so we have to wait for the 16th of April. And after this, we can make the next planes, next rallies. So a lot of people are waiting for the car and asking me when we can get the car to present it. And we have a big promoter that's... how is the name of them? Let me have a take. It's a classic show, and they present all interesting classic cars. And they ask me every week when we can get the little car. When we can get the little car, we want to present this as a retro classic. The retro classic, and this is a big European promoter. After this, we talk about maybe next year in Morocco. They have a classic event, but at the moment, nothing is safe. We enjoy the time and waiting for the car to present it and can clean it and unloading the stuff.
Maybe you should have left it behind. We have the Mini Classic in August this year. Yeah. Anyway, so now let's go to the logistics of planning for this. And, you know, looking at the globalization discussions, and I know you've done quite a number of these movements along the globe to go race or support teams outside there. What is your experience like? What's the story about planning for these kind of events?
You mean for the next classics?
I'm asking about your experience, you know, planning to get your car to a certain section, a certain country where you want to go and race it. Looking at the logistics, how do you go about planning that?
The logistic is a thing. We are traveling since many, many years around the world with our own containers. And in the WRC, it was quite easier because we have a company from Australia. They do the logistic for us. And you have only loading your container, make the connecting to the management, and the container's gone from my workshop everywhere around the world. And we coming to the country, unloading the container. It was a very good job from the guys was from White Knight Logistics. They're from Australia. And but after leaving the WRC, we make all the logistic by ourselves. But we have the experience in the WRC. It's helping a lot that we know the things, and many people help us around. But the important thing every time, it's to pay the things. So the money is every time the question. And I have a lot of sponsors around me, but the times are changing. In the WRCs was much more interesting for the people. And now we are living in the classic, time, and I get my sponsors, but it's more difficult. And yeah, the freight is the cost for the freight. It's exploring everything. So the prices and the rates going up, everything is going up. So in the next years, it will be not easier to compete in around the world.
So let's talk a little bit about WRC, not classic. And I was looking at a few draft regulations, and one that caught my eye is that they are proposing maybe from next year, or I don't know whether 25 or 2026, I can't remember the details there, but they are proposing to reduce the number of people who are traveling and rely more on the locals for local support and the like. And I just wanted to get your sense around that. What does that really mean based on the experience you've had? and using examples like how are you able to work with locals here in Kenya for the classic?
Yeah, the thing is, if you make an international event, it is interesting also for the local people that you have international competitors. And look, in the last time classic event, we have many different countries. And this is the thing that I mean that make it very interesting. It's very important to take the locals and the international people. And but if you will like, if you like to make an international event, you have to invite the international people, and we have to see that we can put the coast close and small, that we are not make too much. How I can explain it? Too much containers around the world, and this is the same for the WRC. They make a. If you make the calendar, you have to see if they get, if they go to South America. And they stay there for maybe one event. It's not enough. If you stay there, you can take three events, leaving the continent and going maybe to Africa, make two events, going to Europe. And the last time, it's many events in Europe. So it's good to traveling around, but not go to Europe, next week America, next week Africa, back to Europe. So the calendar should be easier to handle for the teams. And then we can share the coast. And it is the same in the classic. So the thing is, if you make an international event, it's good to meet the people around the world in the classic event, different cars, different people. And I'm so happy that we see the locals, and I'm happy to see all the people around the world. So last time we had, I think we had around 30 Porsche. And this is the next thing we have to talk about. So if you make a little bit colorful and it should be better for the spectators and should be better for the event that it's not only a Porsche race, you know, that we have a more different cars and more different people. So I like this.
Well, I think one of the challenges that I've had quite a number of drivers complain is getting parts for their cars, because especially when you look at classic cars, those parts are no longer being manufactured. So you have to, you know, custom make them from scratch, name it, from rims, brake pads, engine pads, you know, people have to really custom that. And I'm just wondering, like, when you look at your participation in motorsports over the years, from where you are, what do you think the future of classic is going to be like?
I think at the moment we are on a good way that the classic cars have a good future, because one of the things that we are leaving the WRC was, first of all, I'm too old for the WRC, you know, the age is important. And the second thing is the cost, the money. And in a classic, it's possible to make a good motorsport with a little bit smaller budget. But we have to keep our eyes on this, that the budget and the cost don't going up again like WRC. And the event should be interesting, especially in Kenya. We have so many fantastic spectators in Kenya, in East Africa, around East Africa. So it's unbelievable. So I'm every time, so I was four times in Kenya, and every time, my heart's going on if I see all the spectators in Kenya, and the same in Tanzania. And maybe if for the future, for the classic events, if you take it again in East African Safari, we have to go to Tanzania again. So it should be more interesting and just give it a little bit more, more different stages and more differing views. And I remember me in 2003, I was in Uganda. It was the third thing that I like it. It was a great time in Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda. This was a real East African safari. And I know the things are more difficult now and the political things are difficult, but maybe if everybody's working together, this should come back again.
Absolutely. And we hope maybe one of these days we'll have the East Africa Classic crew coming here and they'll tell us if they will bring back the East Africanness of classic run. It would be nice to go back to Tanzania and Uganda a little bit and, you know, enjoy the
maybe. Talks.
Yeah,
maybe.
Let's talk about, you know, we have the WRC happening in Kenya in the next couple of days, 28th, from the 28th of March. Are you participating in any way in this event?
So I'm first of all that you, I think that you mean, I'm very happy that it's back again in Kenya, the WRC. And I know that the rules are changing, and I think they're leaving in 2001, if I remember me, that was the last time. And the thing was that, now we are back again. Yeah, we had a little connecting problem, but now we are back again. The thing was that the roads are not safe, and but that's the real Africa spirit. This is Africa. This is where we come back to this. And I think they make a very good job. The organization is very good, and the people like the East the Kenya Rally. So if I have my ears on in a WRC and I'm connecting with some of the people like it. And almost the same for Toyota. Toyota as a king is the biggest team in the Kenya. So for them is a big event. So I'm happy that it's back in Kenya, and I wish all the best for the Toyota people. So my heart is going on for the Toyota guys, and this is the thing that after my Trabant carrier, we going up to the Toyota. I have 6 years in Toyota, so I'm happy this, and I'm happy that it's back in Kenya, and keep the event and try the best to make it interesting. And I'm happy for the spectators that they can see the event.
Yeah, interesting. So yesterday we did a poll and we featured, I think, four cars. There was a Toyota, Skoda, Ford, the one I'm forgetting. And we asked guys, like, which car do you think is going to fly the Kenyan flag, you know, for this WRC? And people were like, we are voting for Toyota. We believe we'll get it. You know, yesterday we had a poll asking people, which team do they think will win the WRC Safari? And guys voted for Toyota overwhelmingly. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts about these other brands. For example, Skoda. I've been following Skoda, and I can see they're really doing something there. You know, like they're pushing it. What do you think about, you know, the interplay between these different teams that are fighting for that spot?
So if you're seeing the Hyundai, the Ford, and the Toyota in the first line, so WRC one, the Toyota teams have so much experience about the Safari. They know the things, and they can do it again to build a stable car and good car for the Safari. So I think the experience for this event, it's the best joker that you can use. And if you have a good couple of driver, and they have at the moment good drivers, and it should be this should be the reason to win again. I think the Toyota will be win again. So the Skoda people in the WRC 2, growing up, they have the best car in the WRC 2, and maybe they come back in the first line, but I don't know at the moment how are the decisions. And in the WRC, nobody can beat the Skodas, so it's in a stable car. And and on the end, it's also a question of the money, and you can get a lot of parts and a lot of people with experience in the Skoda team. So I think this is a good couple, Toyota and Skoda, Toyota and WRC 1 and Skoda and WRC 2. This should be my winners.
Winners, let's wait and see. So now, I know you on Kalfo's school. Back in Germany, and I wonder if people kind of get to you and ask you, like, what do I need, what does it take for someone to become a rally driver? For your listeners, what are some of the quick tips that you would tell them to check out for if they're interested in becoming rally drivers?
Mm-hmm. You talk about the young people to get in rally, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, so we have, at the moment, we're sitting in my office and we have two different companies, the motorsport company and the driving school for young people. And so the rally drivers have the most of the experience in motorsport. It's the rally driver, if you talk about the cars. So if you talk about touring cars, it's very exciting, but you have the good feeling after you take 10, 12, 15 rounds, the same course, and it's not easy. But if you come, especially for a rally driver, the conditions changing every time. You have wet, you have dry, you have gravel, you have tarmac. So you have to be fast on every kind of ground. And I think the most of the experience, the best drivers, what you can have are rally drivers. And so I'm a rally driver. It should be not the reason to say we are the best. But I think for my young people, if I teach them, I can give them so many experience to talk about wet and dry and corners and something like this. And if we see we have talent people, we talk about them. How do you want to make a license for racing? What do you feel about it? And what do you think about it? Can we invite you to the ADAC? That is a German motorsport club. And we can look how is your talent, how you can drive, and maybe we can push you up for a race or rally driver, whatever. And but it's good to come in a driving school with experience in motorsport.
So before we close this show, this something that I've been seeing young people trying to, you know, see how they can connect between the global south and the global north when it comes to motorsport. And with all the spirit of WRC Classic, you know, this idea of globalization, going to race in different countries and the like, I'll be curious to hear your thoughts about what would be some of the possible ways for the young upcoming rally drivers to connect, you know, with a global superstars like you, you know, in the rally, so that they can learn a few things, get the experience, you know, utilize. They don't want to reinvent the wheel.
First of all, if you talk about the WRC rally drivers, it is good for the young people to come close to them. In the WRC, I think Kenya is the same. You can come close to the service places. You can talk with the champions. It is impossible in the Formula One. So you are not connected to the drivers. The drivers are very far from you. But in a rally, it's possible to talk with the drivers, and you can ask them. And after the event of the daytime, in the nighttime, if you meet them, you can talk with them. And this is good in the WRC, so you're close to the champions. For example, if you go to Carlo Rovan Perez, you can talk with him like a friend. Not in a small break in the service, but after the event, if you meet him, you can say, "Hey, hello, Kalle, can I talk with you?" And or Tanak and all the superstars, Loeb and Ogier, you can talk with them. It's no problem. And they have every time an ear for you. And that's impossible in the Formula One. And you can ask them about the way come up to the champion. And you can ask them what I have to do, what I can make. Buy a small car, repair by myself. Make a cage in it, and so that is good in a rally. And I would like to say that if you have people that are interested in motorsport, we have to push them. We have to push them, and we have to open them the possibilities. And this is also the thing of the countries. That is the thing in Germany. So we have too much different things, and this is the same in Kenya. On the top, every time on top is football, so soccer is on top. And if you have a local star, that is much easier for the country and for government to make the circle around them and push young people. You have to be growing up a star, a Kenyan star, look to France, look to Finland, they have stars, and this is good for government and good for the people to push up to come again. So we can present them, we have a WRC star, we have a world champion. It's every time good to have. And so our German experience was many, many years ago with Walter Röhrl, and sometimes champion, and he's more than 70 years old, but he's a star. And we have to get again a new star, so that young people can look up to him and say, yes, this is my future. This I will like to be him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what we want to achieve within our Arcadios podcast here, where we give opportunity for these young upcoming rally drivers to virtually meet, you know, their stars. There's always a lot we can discuss when it comes to motorsport, but I'm conscious of time. And before we close, I would want you to give us your parting shots and tell us, do you think you'll make it for the Mini Classic this year?
Sorry for me that we can't take part in August, because if I had no, that the fright is on the way a lot of months, it's better to leave it there and come back for Mini Classic. But I wish you all the best for the Mini Classic. I think it's in August. I remember that area. Yeah, it's in August. And we will see how it's going on this time. It is raining or not, that it's dry. And I wish you that it comes many, many competitors. And for the next East African Safari, some things have to be changed. Some things was different, and in the organization it must be a little bit better, but I think they will do the job, the organization will do this, and so maybe we can see us again in 25. I don't know how 26. Is the future. Yeah, 26 is the next one, should be 2020, the East African Safari should be next one, or 2 years, I don't know.
2 years, it's two years.
Yeah, so maybe we can see us again.
Maybe. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, Michael Fufas. We'll keep in touch and hoping to host you once again, and we can continue with this discussion.
Yes, of course. All right. The best to Kenya, all the best, and all the best for the WRC Kenya Safari Rally. And I see that there's competitors, a lot of people coming there, international people, should be a good time around Lake Naivasha. I like this area.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.